Hey, well, welcome to this week's episode of A Little Better. We're in Trust Issues Part 5. My name is Daniel. I will be your host. And today our conversation is live and in person with our lead pastor, Drew Karshner, and Webster Campus pastor, Nate Miller, who preached all about Mary, her trust, and how we can know God's plan and make decisions for our life. We're so excited for this week's episode. Be sure you listen all the way to the end because we dive into like, how do I make decisions in my life so I don't mess up God's will for it? I can't wait to dive into this week's episode. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss a single thing because remember, our goal in this podcast is to know Jesus better and by the power of his spirit, do better so together we can be a little better. Hey, well, welcome to the Little Better Podcast. My name's Daniel, and I'm here with Drew and our very special guest, Webster Campus Pastor Nate Miller.
What's hey, glad on? To be here. Glad to be here.
Nice. Well, we always start off with sports banter, right? But it's the week of sadness.
I knew you were going to do this.
It's the week of sadness for Nate and myself because in baseball world, baseball's over now, so we can move on to football officially.
Right. Cardinals and Yankees are out. Who's even watching the playoffs?
Nobody's watching anymore.
Guys,
right,
most
Drew?
People are watching football anyway, so baseball doesn't matter now because football has started. But my Braves are still 2-1. So
Dave Boehm is still watching because he texts me every day something about how the Red Sox and how amazing they are. And
That's dedication, you know?
Yes.
And there's probably Red Sox fans out there that you're still watching, but I'm not. So
they're definitely still watching.
Give them credit, though. I didn't think anyone was going to beat Tampa Bay, but they took them down. So
that's right.
They
that's
played
right.
well.
You know, to be sports fans for most teams, you got to have a lot of just dedication and you just move on and maybe next year.
Yeah. Tough part about baseball, man, is it's such a long season and it comes to an end so quickly. Yeah. And it's like, oh.
Yeah. Most of us didn't start watching until 2 weeks ago anyways.
That's true. It's been short for me.
I'm pulling for the Braves, though. I kind of always had, like, I like them. So it'd be great.
I knew you were
That's my
guy.
New team now. Okay, I'm rooting for them.
It's officially not my new team, so I'm just staying with the Cardinals.
Come on. You're a Southern guy. That's Atlanta, right?
I know, right? It's shout out to, the Southeast, but
got the chop and everything.
Yeah, that's right. They do. They have some cool stuff they do in the stadium.
Hey, how did Arkansas do this weekend?
They did really well to the last play of the game. So
it's a shame they count that last play. Isn't it?
I know, right? If they just stop, just stop right there. They still would have lost because they would have been down by one. So yeah. So.
I have a really corny segue.
Okay.
From sports to Mary. It's going to be a strong one. You ready for this?
Ready? I'm ready.
You know, sometimes when you watch a game, you just don't know what's going to happen.
It's true.
And Mary just didn't know what was going to happen. Oh, boom.
Boom.
Let's end the podcast.
Segue.
Let's
go. Thanks for listening to this week. but this weekend, we jump from the Old Testament to the New Testament in our series Against All Odds, from Nahum to Mary.
Quite a jump.
Yeah, it was a small jump. And we jumped from a bunch of stories of guys, having their faith in God, and now First Lady making her appearance in the series. Shout out. And so, Nate, you crushed it this weekend.
Thanks. Yeah, no, it was, Mary's story is...
Just so our audience knows, this is our first time recording in my office with all these lights and these cool mics. And our producer just messed this up. Just so everybody knows, our producer,
there watching YouTube videos.
Ian, the video guy, who tells everybody to turn their videos off, turn their cell phones on vibrate, and he's playing a video game over there. And no, I don't know what he's doing.
Candy Crush.
Let's keep going. Let's rock and roll. Bro, we are keeping this.
This is the best.
This is our first time here. We have something on the guy who's editing us now.
We have
so
the first.
We're good.
With Mary, one of the neat things, especially in this series on trust, it's just easy to overlook her, right? You just think of the story of Jesus and his birth and the significance of that. But it was neat to kind of pause for a minute and just think about her life, where she was at, what this must have meant for her, and then also, too, just to see her incredible trust that, again, you try to put yourself in her shoes, and I can't imagine saying yes to that. And what I love about her story too is her obedience. It was very quick. Like some of the other examples we've seen.
Yeah.
Like look at Gideon. Yeah, was Gideon. Like, I need this. I need this. And Mary's just like, no, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you.
Like that's the one thing that really stood out to me, you know, as like, if you put these stories side by side, like we have been doing week by week, it's the immediate and the obedience by Mary was just like, it just jumps out at you because she gets this word. She's like, may your word be fulfilled.
Right.
All right. Let's do this. Yeah.
And I think with Mary, what's we miss so often in her story is one, we only look at it as Christmas. So it was weird. We're in October, even though I'm getting ready to decorate for Christmas to look at Mary's story. Amen. But like, I think you have to understand like culturally how big of a yes this is, right? From just like, she should have been stoned, right? Like this was a huge deal to take on this scandalous thing, but also pregnancy in this time frame was a death sentence in the sense of most women died from it, right? There wasn't like, oh, you need a C-section? Okay, let's line it up. You know, this pregnancy was a huge deal. To say yes to a baby that wasn't going to, you know, technically be yours with an engagement and, oh, by the way, the risk of pregnancy and her dying from it were very, very elevated. And I think we miss that a lot in this culture, right? I'm getting ready to have a baby and like, you know, little grade, I'm like, oh, what if something goes wrong? But we have babies every day. It's just like, boom.
Yeah.
That was easy.
Right. Yeah. There's so much like nuance around like pregnancy in the world of the Bible, if you want to say that. Like kids are seen as a blessing from God, number one, but it could be a death sentence. But, you know, it's like there's all these things that go on where in our culture that there's some people that view having children as an inconvenience that like, you got to stop your career, you got to stop your life. But it's a very different time. And then Mary gets none of the benefits culturally, and all of the pressure and all of the negative things with this moment. And she's still like, I'm the Lord's, may your word be fulfilled. I'm just putting all my trust on the table with you, God. Like I got you. I'm all in.
Yeah. Again, just an amazing example of, of trust, which good night. Yeah. And it's hard to even, I think for us, you know, to put ourselves in her position contextually when you think about just where we're at. I think that's a great point, Drew, of just thinking about not even just the cultural and what are people going to think, but even to just the reality of her physically, what this is going to mean for her in her life of giving birth. And it's so different nowadays where, you know, thank goodness for technology and the advancements that have been made. But yeah, that was a huge step for her even on that side of it.
And I wonder how many times she came back to that moment, right? Like, you know, you think about your life, right? You talked about, you know, your interruption of like, you never thought you're going to be a pastor and, you know, God changed that. But like, I'm sure, and this is kind of a question I had for you, because I've experienced this. There's times in your life where you're like, okay, I know you called me this, God, but I'm not sure that I want to do this anymore. Like, I'm not sure this is still the calling. And, you know, oftentimes when I have, I go back to that original calling. I wonder how many times when it got tough for Mary, she went back to that moment, was like, okay, I said I'm the Lord's servant. I said I'm going to do this, right?
I wonder that too, like the examples even we looked at, just of the shepherds coming, the dedication where she's treasuring it up. You would imagine that part of the treasuring is like, okay, I'm reminded of God, this is what you've called me to. Because you got to believe there are moments of just, what is going to happen? And what is this going to look like? And how is this going to pan out that... I love those little moments where the Bible includes that, where she treasured these things in her heart, because that helps you understand, like, she's watching this thing unfold.
Yeah.
You know, it's easy for us to look at it, and we know the whole story, we know how it's all going to work out, but for Mary, every day was a step of trust, and of like, God, this is yours, I'm going to trust you with it, I don't know what's going to happen next. It was cool.
Yeah, and that's just evidence of the fact of, you know, you opened up your message this weekend with about, you know, God's plan and purpose for all of our lives. And I think one of the reasons that it's so impactful that Mary treasured these things and that like and it's so bigger even for our own lives, the application of that is God's calling and purpose for our life is better than ours, is because when our life gets tough, and it will, like we may not, you know, be a virgin that gets pregnant, but like our life is going to get tough. You know, I've heard this cliche saying, but it's so true, of like, he who calls you has to keep you. And if it's us, you know, making the plan for our life, when our life gets tough, it's so easy just to pivot and say career change, or pivot and just say like, all right, I'm going to shift it up because this thing that I wanted to do, now it's really hard to do. Now I don't want to do it anymore. I'm going to do something else. But if it's God that's like unfolding the path for our life and we're following him and we're trusting him, then it's like, okay, God, I'm going to trust you. Like you've led me down this road and it's tough now, but this is where you're taking me, and I got to trust that this plan, this purpose, this direction is better than anything I could pick, even though it's not fun.
Right. Just because it's hard doesn't mean, oh, you know, this is the first off ramp.
Yeah,
right?
It's like,
I hit the first off, I got to stop. This must not be what God wants. It could be the very next thing he wants you to trust you with in that moment.
Yeah.
Well, and I think it's cool how God keeps you, right? Like, you look at Mary's story, there's clues all along the way of things that she didn't know. Like, can you imagine, like, you got this baby, you take it to the temple to be dedicated, and there's the, you know, the priest saying these things, and you're like, what just happened? You know what I mean? Right. Like, and then she was like, okay, God, I'm starting to see. And I think God keeps us by, you know, there's a lot of an unknown that keeps us from trusting God. Yeah. But then he gives us a lot of like, oh, wow, just small little glimpses into the future. And you're like, okay, I see you working, God. Okay. I'm sure Mary had moments like that, that some aren't even recorded, right?
Yeah. So you don't think Mary walked up to the temple and Simeon was like, I may die now because I've seen the Messiah. And she's not thinking, oh, yeah, that probably happens at most people's dedications.
Right. This is normal.
This is normal.
Maybe
right?
She was like, this guy's good. He's real good.
Right. Yeah, she probably did not think that at all.
Most parents, though, today come away like, yep, my kid is the Messiah.
That's right. You're right.
They can do no wrong.
It's incredible.
Yeah,
that's incredible. So what would we say, you guys, you know, pour out your wisdom here, for somebody who is in that tough spot in their life where they feel like, you know, they're following God, they're faithful to him, and they're just in a tough spot either with their job right now that they potentially may lose it, or they just have lost it, or whatever they may be doing, you know, they're trying to have a child in their marriage and it's just not working, and God's led them this whole way, but it's tough right now. What's their next step? What's the thing they should do?
I mean, a couple things come to my mind. I think initially would just be to continue to, it's okay to wrestle with that. And I don't think any of us are saying like, just smile and pretend like everything's fine. Like,
absolutely, yeah.
There are going to be hard times. So number one, that's okay. And that will happen. And then I would just say, just lean into it as much as you can. Run to God just like you would during the good times. Of just, God, what is it that you're doing? What is it that you have for me? What is it that I'm missing? What is it that you're trying to do inside of me or around me? But just be open-handed with how he's leading and directing you in that moment. It could get to the point where he's like, okay, I have something new for you. But oftentimes it's not. Oftentimes it's just he's just trying to grow you in the midst of whatever you're facing. So, yeah, just keep pressing in. And he will guide, he will lead, and he will direct. If we have that posture of just, God, I want to be used by you, even though it's hard, help me see and know what that is.
Yeah, that's good. I also think it's just Mary's statement. She says, I am the Lord's. Mm. And I think remind yourself of that, right? Who God is. And, you know, we sang a song, Jireh, right? I am the Lord's. He's our provider. And so just coming back to the truth of scripture, right? He provides, he flowers the lilies in that song, right? He takes care of the sparrow. He's going to take care of you. And it might not look like what you want. Again, that's a huge part of trust. Mary's story is the unknown. What's the scary for all of us is not knowing what's next, right? We worry about it. Our anxiety raises. But just remind yourself, I'm the Lord's. Who is God? And has he always provided for me? Yes, and he always will. And so I think that statement, there's a lot behind those words, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we have such a tainted view of the word, just that word providing, in America, because we view like provision as we have food on the table, a roof over our head, our bank accounts are full, and we got a backup savings account. Like, God has been so faithful. It's not just the fact of, like, we can't, it's hard for us to go back in our minds to when we were, like, broke as a joke in college, and all we could buy is ramen, and, like, that was, like, God providing away because you found a 20 stuffed in a couch cushion somewhere.
Bro, I love ramen, though. Yeah. Lord is good when he's providing ramen.
But that's like the Lord. Any other country where they're like making statements like Mary, like, I'm the Lord's, you're going to be a provider. Like, that Lord's Prayer of daily bread is a real thing for them, where we are like, God, where are you at? And like, that's just because we couldn't, you know, afford the upgrade package in the car that we really wanted. We had to, you know, downgrade with the new car.
I was just talking to my daughter, Olivia, about that, of just what just the fact that God has blessed us with the time that we're born in right now, because she's learning about this at school, of different, you know, periods and cultures and times and history, and just realizing, man, being born now is a blessing in and of itself, just with what we get to enjoy. And here in America, we are rich and providing. Like, we don't really, I mean, we have so much that it's really hard to not feel like you're ever at a point of like, what, where's my next meal going to come from? Or how are we going to, you know, have a roof over our head? Like, we, so much of that stuff is just given nowadays that certainly for Mary and other periods of time where it was not that case.
Absolutely. That's exactly what it is. You know, going back, jumping back to those like hard moments in our life though, like I kind of went on a rabbit trail there with the word providing, but those hard moments in our life, what I've found in my short life, you know, of just 20 something years, is that a lot of times those moments in our lives, it's God molding us and shaping like our character, and we're being like forged as like a blacksmith, you know, he's heating up the metal to bend it and shape it. And we often lose sight of that a lot of the times when it's our first couple moments of trial, when it's the first couple of times. And now I'm in a point where it's like, when it's hard, it's like, oh, I'm realizing God's trying to change something within me in my character and my heart, instead of this is just hard for the sake of it being hard. It's like, no, that's not like God's, I'm leaning in now. It's like, okay, what are you trying to teach me about who I could be or should be in light of who you are, God? And ultimately God's purposes are for his own glory, because he's the only one that deserves that.
Yeah, nothing's wasted. I try to always remind myself of that. Nothing's wasted. So even in the hard time and the waiting, you can feel like the change is out there and this is what's next, or the new chapter of this decision. But no, nothing's wasted. Right now he's trying to do something in me that I need to try to see and discover.
Well, and I think with Mary, we often focus on Jesus, right? Rightfully so, the Savior of the world arrives. But think about from the moment Gabriel came to the moment Jesus died, how much Mary must have changed based off of that journey of trust, right? How much God did mold her and shape her into this, you know, young, righteous woman, to this woman who takes on the son of Jesus, strong enough to watch her son die. Like, that didn't happen by accident. That happened through a journey of trust, trusting God with every step of the way. How many moms want to walk that journey, right?
Yeah.
Mary was a strong woman who literally had to trust God. Her journey didn't get much better, right? I'm sure she had some good days with Jesus, but you know, the climax of her story and her trust is watching her son be humiliated and brutalized.
Yeah,
right?
And she's one of the ones, like, closest followers of Jesus who didn't bounce right at the end. Like, all the 12 disciples, they rolled out.
You know,
they scattered like sheep with their shepherd stroke. And so, like, and Mary's just, you know, the picture at least we have in the Gospels is she's just right there the whole time, like, just watching, you know, every agonizing moment and every agonizing second of Jesus's brutal, brutal death. And she's right there the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, he speaks directly to her and the disciple on the cross. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Mary is a strong, strong woman. Like, I mean, I can't imagine that.
No way. And so the question that comes to my mind with that phrase that you highlighted and we've just highlighted over and over again is Mary treasuring the unfolding plan of God in her heart. It's like, how can we do that in our lives? How can we, you know, as our lives progress, and obviously God is moving and directing and guiding our steps, what are some ways that we can treasure the unfolding plan of God in our lives?
Yeah, I think it can be even look for the little things. It doesn't have to be these big moments. Even I shared that one example of, you know, stopping over at a friend's house after work to drop off food, and you can just, in a simple hello, hey, how are you doing? God can be working through you in the life of someone who's super lonely right now, and you can really encourage them by taking 15 minutes to drop by, hang out, and see them. And that's God working in and through you. So I think be open to those interruptions. See them as invitations, whether big, whether small. God wants to work in all of those moments. So I think, and then just celebrate and thank God. You know, give him praise, you know, for that moment and opportunity that he provided for you. But I think there's interruptions and opportunities, invitations all around us that, you know, man, we just got to pay attention to and recognize, man, that was God. I didn't see that coming in my day.
Yeah.
But he did. And thankfully, you know, I was awake enough to be able to step into that moment and be used by him. So I think it can happen in a ton of different ways, even throughout the course of each day.
And allow yourself to be interrupted, right? You know, like, I think it's paying attention, right? But we are so busy, our schedules are so full that when we are interrupted, it's like you said, it's an inconvenience and we just move past it, right? I don't have time to be interrupted. I don't have time to pay attention. I don't have time to see that need. And I think just being okay interrupting your day, right? Like, I'm terrible at this because I'm a planner.
Yeah.
Like, and interruption's the worst thing in my life, right? Because it's like, no, this is not the plan. I don't want to do this. Like, I get anxiety thinking of interruptions. Yeah. And just allowing your schedule to, it's okay. Be flexible enough to say, I think God is moving. I think there's a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, too, of, like, listening to his voice and him saying, like, no, this is me, right? Because I think we can get really over spiritual and be like, wait, I think God's telling me to pause this podcast. You know what I mean? Like, but, like, listen to the voice and be okay being interrupted.
Right. Yeah, that's absolutely right. Yeah, give yourself space. I think one other thing, just a skill, is learning to reflect back on God's faithfulness over the long haul, of, like, where he's taken you from, you know, and where he's got you now of, like, you look back, you know, we joked about, you know, having $20, you know, stuffed in the couch, you know, just so you could provide food and, like, look at where you're at now.
Yeah.
You know, we're always looking forward in our lives, like, and we're taught by just our culture of just next level up in the ladder, right? It's like, okay, I want to get there now. And then, like, the goalpost seems to just keep being moved further and further back because there's always somebody ahead of us, you know, in their family life, in their family maturity, or they're ahead of us in our career, or they're ahead of us. They're just ahead of us. And so we're like, okay, now they're the marker, you know, because we've already passed the one we wanted. But if we look back and realize that God's been faithful all along the way and look how far he's brought us, that's, you know, all throughout the scriptures in the Old Testament, you know, when God's leading the people of Israel, he's constantly asking them, well, through the prophets, remember. Like, I've been faithful, I am faithful, I will be faithful. Yeah. Like, I'm always faithful. And if we do all the things that you guys shared and just reflect back, we'll live at a pace that we will be able to listen to the Holy Spirit instead of just this pace of, like, all right, what's next? What's next? What's next? What's next? We can live present in the moment and follow where God is leading us in our lives and in our families.
And share those stories, right? Yeah. Like, God's faithfulness in your life in a hard season could inspire his faithfulness to me, right?
Yeah.
And, like, we get together weekly in community groups. Like, it doesn't have to just be a time where you get in a circle and share all the bad things that you need prayer. It can also be a time where you celebrate God and say, hey, I just want you guys to know how God came through for me.
Yeah.
Because someone might need to hear it in your group, right? Someone might think God doesn't care about me, and his faithfulness in your life can actually motivate and remind me of his faithfulness in my life. And so I just don't think we do a good job of sharing God's stories, right? Yeah. And they inspire you. They remind you of the truth.
Yeah. Because it's that one time where you're bragging on somebody else. It's like you're not bragging on your own, so, like, well, let me tell you how spiritual I was this week. And it's like, no, it's like God's been faithful.
Yeah.
You know, let me share about his faithfulness. Right. I know that in those moments in our community group that they're always encouraging, like, everyone around it, but they're so hard to share because you feel like, I just feel like I'm bragging. And it's like, no, you're not bragging. Like, you're just sharing about the faithfulness of God. You're doing what, you know, you should be doing in this moment.
So you think of all the prayer requests that have been answered, that have gone uncelebrated.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy when you stop and think about how many times we pray, but then do we circle back up and, like, oh, God, you came through, man. Yeah. Thank you. That was amazing.
Yeah. And that just echoes up how hard we, or how bad we are at doing that remembering. Like, we're really bad, you know, because how many times have you in your community group, small group, whatever the case may be, if you do remember to get asked, you know, ask somebody about that prayer request, like, how'd that surgery go that we were praying for? Or, like, how'd that job search go? Or, you know, whatever the case would be, and, like, oh, yeah, it's all good now. It's like, oh, so God came through. Right. It's like, we just, like, brush that off. It's like, oh, yeah, I did find a job. No big deal. It's like, what? Wait, like, we prayed for this, and it came through. It's like, know, you could say what you want, but God was faithful in the midst of that, and we're not
celebrating. Or we take
that.
Credit for it, right? Yeah, like, man, I crushed that interview. Let
that
me tell
awesome.
You, I, you, my, you,
they had no choice.
Would you look
they
at my resume? And like we do, we just like we were like, oh yeah, good, man, I came through on that. No, you didn't. God did. God provided, right? And I just think that's really important to come back and celebrate and inspire the faithfulness of God and others.
Yeah. Yeah, so remember, reflect, celebrate. Those are all just really positive things we can do. What do we do in this last, ending on the podcast right here, last question, how do we distinguish the plan of God? We were bantering back and forth before we even started recording about, you know, do we wait until an angel shows up, you know, to like know when God is calling us to do something or when this is God asking us to make a move, to do these things, you know, because in Mary's life, that's what happened to her, you know, and multiple other stories. We looked at Gideon, an angel showed up, Joshua, an angel showed up. Like, is that what we're supposed to wait until an angel shows up in our lives? Like, how do we distinguish like the plan of God to our plan, to just somebody else's plan for our life? Like, how do we, what do we do? Sure. What are we doing that?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of filters that might be able to help us discern that. Number one, clearly is going to be, okay, is this something that God would want and desire? Like, is this a sin issue or is this outside of God's plan? You know, should I really be a Cowboys fan? No,
you shouldn't.
That is a clear, I'm just kidding.
Well, I mean, you could call it sin what they're doing to other teams. You see that?
Oh, man.
Speaking of Cowboys, I don't know if you guys saw my beautiful decorations. I thought I'd highlight that.
I personally like the elk version. Antlers better. So,
I know. Ian took my elk antlers down. So, like, yeah, hey, Ian, thanks. You're 0-2, bro. Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the audio version of the podcast. Yeah.
Seriously.
In all seriousness, sorry for that side trope. But I do think, is he clearly asking you to do something outside of his plan and will? Okay, all right, that'll narrow it down. But then, too, I think it's just the wisdom filter of just, if you're unsure, bring people in, your spouse, if you have one, or a roommate of yours, or a close friend, or maybe family that can help you discern, like, am I thinking about this right, or is there an angle here that maybe I haven't considered that I should consider? So those two things right away, I think, kind of shrink it down to at least help you discern, like, okay, is this a step that I can take? I think the last one would just be, too, just that continual prompting of just, like, this hasn't gone away. Like, maybe this truly is something I need to take a step in. And, again, look for God's faithfulness and validation there. And then he might open up another step in that. But those are a couple things that come to my mind.
Yeah, I think the Spirit of God, right? Like, if you can wait on an angel, but you got something better. God himself lives in you, right? And he will guide you and prompt you. You know, he calls it the Holy Spirit, our advocate, our guide, right? And so there's the Spirit of God is called a guide, and so is the Word of God, right? So many of us don't know God's will because we don't spend time in God's Word, right? And the scriptures say it's a lamp unto our feet. So when it's dark, what's the best thing to guide you? Light, right? Yeah. The God's Word is light. And so, again, those are those filters, right? And so be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading. No, don't wait on an angel because you'll be waiting and you won't do anything, right? And don't be afraid. I would challenge people. I think a lot of people wait and they're waiting for this like full 100% in the clouds written there. Like, no, you don't have to wait. If you've lined it up with the filters, you've talked to God's people and you come to this conclusion, man, God's lead, go, do, you know, like so many of us just wait. Mm-hmm. Like, I think sometimes if an angel came to us, we'd still have another excuse of like, well, that was an angel, but it wasn't God. So I'm going to wait on God, you know, like, come on, do what you're supposed to do. I think for many of us, it's not an issue of what I should do. It's, do I really want to do this? Mm,
that's good. What both of you highlighted right there, which I think is so important to note, is you focus not on what decision we're making, but how we're making decisions, because none of us can ruin God's plan for our lives. Like, we may put ourselves in situations that aren't desirable for our lives, but God is continually faithful. Mm. God is the one who's continually working. And there's a biblical word that we never use in our modern language, which is just thwart. Like, no one can thwart the plan of God. No one can despise it or cut its legs off. Like, nobody can do that. And so don't worry so much about, oh, I feel like if I make this decision or if I take this job, it's not going to be God's will for my life, and it's just going to be totally, utterly ruined. If I go to that place, if I give this money, like, no, it's like, you're not that important. Like, you know what I mean? Like, but also, God is that big that we can make decisions, if we're filtering it through biblical community, biblical guidance, and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, then we can live our lives. Like, we can do and go, and if we're desiring to bring God glory and become more like Him, then do it. Like, go and live. Trust God. Trust that God is bigger than any of your just minute, like, you should have taken that job, but you took the other one, like, decisions. Like, God is bigger, and God just wants to work in you and through you wherever you may find yourself.
It's like, good, yeah. Don't get hung up on those little things that often paralyze us from taking steps of obedience.
I always say I'd rather get to heaven sweaty and exhausted and God be like, you missed on a couple times, versus like, hey,
what were you doing just sitting around?
What were you waiting for, right? I obviously put a couple leanings in your heart, and what were you doing, right? Yeah. Like, I just rather get to heaven being like, man, I gave it all I had, and I know there's probably times where I messed it up. I'm a sinner. We're all sinners, right? It's okay, right? God's big enough to take to handle that. He knows. And so, like, don't be afraid to listen to the Spirit of God and act, right? Go for it.
It reminds me of, like, a basketball analogy. Like, the coach never takes the kid out who's, like, giving it 110%. And he may be in the wrong spot defensively every now and then, like, but he's given it everything he has. Like, he's guiding that, you know, that stallion, that guy that's given it everything he has. But the coach always takes out the kid who's just, like, sitting on his heels. Like, he's not doing anything.
Yeah.
You know, he's, like, takes him out. So if you take anything away from this podcast today, do something. Like, it's like, do something. Like, God's faithful. Trust Him and go and live your life. So. Yeah. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of A Little Better. Make sure to subscribe if you're watching our YouTube channel. And if you are watching our YouTube channel, you realize that it's a little better today. It's our first time filming in person. So the banter was a little better. And the mics were
a little better.
The mics were a little better. Everything was just a little better. We're living up to the name of this podcast. So be sure to subscribe, hit that bell so you don't miss a single episode. If you're listening on the audio version, you notice too, it's a little better. The mic, the audio version is a little better as well. Be sure to subscribe and so you don't miss a single episode. We can't wait to hang out with you again next week.